Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't let anyone say that it's just a game. For I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed. The first time you walk into Wrigley.
So all he did was be one of the great producers in radio history. Then he went off and he's got his own publishing company. And now, Mr. Big Shot over here, Rick Kempfer's written his own book. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great to see you. We actually have a designated lunatic Cub fan here. We asked Andrea to stay because she's nuts for the Cubs.
I am.
I know
always
she is. I've known Andrea for years.
When I heard Scott Sanderson...
Yeah, sad story.
Oh,
yeah.
God,
sad story.
I couldn't believe it. I had his autographed picture, his 8x10 glossy. You'll appreciate it.
Oh, all the girls like him.
He's so handsome. We were just discussing that earlier, except for Dave and Steve didn't really participate in the conversation.
He was just a beautiful guy.
Yeah, he was really
adorable. He was adorable.
Yes, he was, wasn't he? So
and charming cool. and really
super
kind.
Super nice.
And a good teammate, from what I'm told. 62 years old. He'd been sick for a while, but sad story and best to his family. Rick Kempfer, your new book is called what?
Every Cub Ever.
That seems like a pretty large task to take that on.
Yeah, it took me 10 years to write it, but I have actually written a mini bio about every single player that ever played for the Cubs, going back from 1871 to 2018. Every single one I found, even guys that played one inning or, you know, threw one pitch, they're all in this book.
Well, I can think of one famous guy, one pitch, first at-bat, beanball.
Yeah, that's right, Greenberg.
And Greenberg, I don't think, played in the bigs again, did he?
He had one at-bat for the Marlins as kind of a publicity stunt about 6 years later, and he struck out in three pitches.
Didn't go from there.
Yeah.
Is Matt Merton in there?
Matt Merton. Every single one.
Just ask.
Everyone.
Who is the toughest to track down?
So there was a guy named... There's actually three people in the book that I don't know when they died. The information is just lost in the ether. They unless they're 160-some years old walking around the streets of Chicago, I don't know what happened to them. But one of them was named Wash Williams.
Okay.
He played one game for the Cubs in, I think it was 1890 or something like that.
Okay.
And played outfield, with 1-for-4. That's all I know about him. I could not find anything else about him.
It's kind of amazing you found that.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that wasn't his name?
It is. Yeah.
Well, you know, like if you adapt a different name.
I'm feeling like Wash is maybe a nickname.
Right.
Like Rokan. I didn't know Rokan was Rokan's real name.
It is?
Yes. Roe is not short for anything.
It was Washington Williams.
Not a Cub.
There you go.
Washington Williams.
Yes.
We're already getting texters asking, Harry Cheedy?
Harry Cheedy.
You know Harry Cheedy?
Yeah. Yes, he's in here.
I believe the Yankees had a third baseman who played here for about 10 seconds named Celerino Sanchez. Does that ring a bell? I could be wrong.
It does not ring a bell.
Okay, then I'm wrong.
I wrote about 2,186 of these.
And you haven't memorized every one of them?
I don't have them all memorized.
And Steve has been around a couple times today, though. So doesn't have it memorized, and you could be wrong.
Can I be wrong twice in a show?
No, I doubt that.
Sweet.
I doubt that would be a first. Who is your favorite all-time Cup?
Well, you know, it was Ernie. It's a boring answer, but it was Ernie.
The answer, I think, is probably the most common answer.
Yeah. I became a Cub fan in 1969. And that was, you know, Ernie was singing every day and doing the Let's Play 2, and I fell in love with the Cubs.
That was a team of stars, superstars for the day. Who was the least famous guy on that team? I'm always fascinated by the guy at the end of the bench on a big team. And part of the reason is because Steve Kerr, who's, you know, you were talking earlier this week, Sandberg, about this the nicest professional athlete you've ever known. Steve Kerr is far and away the most normal professional athlete I've ever known. He got to be a pal. Steve Kerr tells a great story about when he retired from the San Antonio Spurs. But I was already a fan of the guy at the end of the bench, and Kerr's story was he's icing his knees, and David Robinson and Tim Duncan look down and go, Kerr, what are you doing? He goes, I'm icing my knees. And they go, you haven't played yet. He goes, that's when he knew it was time to get out. So in baseball, when you got 25 guys, it's usually a middle reliever
in the
bullpen.
There was a guy named Jofre Brown who was on that team. I believe he came up at the end of 68. He only pitched in one game, and then he went to California and became a stuntman. and appeared in like 175 films.
What a cool story.
Yeah. He was like the fill-in for Bill Cosby on I Spy.
What a cool story.
Stuff like that. I mean, that's there are lots of stories like that in the book.
What are some of the other fun things you found out?
Well, you know, the thing that interested me were some of these guys were not good guys. Like, there were a couple guys that shot people. There was a kidnapper. There was, you know, a jewel thief.
None on the current team.
No, none of them on the current team. But there were also heroes. There were people that there was a guy named Larry French who was a part of the D-Day invasion. Lloyd Merriman was a Korean War hero.
Wow.
Remember the Iroquois fire?
Mm-hmm.
The most tragic day in Chicago? Two Cubs were at that game, knocked down a door, and saved a bunch of lives of people that were in that theater.
Oh, my God.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's the cool thing about this. Every era of Cub fan can enjoy this book.
Yeah.
And it's digestible. They're not like pages and pages on one guy that it goes too deep there.
Right.
I'm interested. Here's one that Andrea is going to like. Rube Novotny, 1924 to 1987. He played for the Cubs in 1949. He's a product of the University of Illinois.
There that's we go. Right. ILL.
Me yeah. too.
He played in 22 games. He was a backup catcher.
What were you going to ask?
Oh, I was going to say, do you remember the Die Hard Cub Fan Club? My dad signed me up for this when I was like 5 years old, and you paid, I think back in the day, I think it was 1980-ish.
Yeah.
And you paid $5 or $10, and you got this little kit. It was like the fan club kit in the mail. You got a little card with your name on it. It was like a credit card. And then every month, you'd get a little
newsletter.
It felt
like hot stuff.
Oh, my God, yeah. And they'd send 8x10 glossies.
One of the guys who ran that was Tom Bosley, who was in Happy Days.
Oh, yeah.
He ran that?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys that founded that whole Die Hard.
And George Will was part of it,
and
too.
George
right?
Will was part of it, too.
Mr. C.
And George Will, who is still one of the most important, used to be Republican voices in America.
Yeah.
What's your favorite story in the entire book?
Oh boy, that's tough.
There must be a Jose Cardenal story in there.
There is. So Jose Cardenal once missed a game because he said that his eyelid
was stuck. Yeah.
Stuck closed.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I remember.
So he missed a game because of that. Mm-hmm. Another time
What time did the girl leave the room?
Yeah, right.
Right.
There's another time he said crickets kept him up in his hotel room and that he couldn't play the next day. So there's a lot of good Jose Cardenal.
I like
stories.
There's a lot of historical notes. Don Kessinger, on the day that Jim Morrison died in a bathtub in Paris, he hit 2 home runs that season.
Right?
That's right.
A tribute. Right.
And by the way, that's Kessinger, not Morrison.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Kessinger, not Morrison, who did it.
Dennis Lamp, on the day that the movie Animal House was released, Lamp shut out the Giants at Candlestick Park for a 1-0 Cubs win.
Where else are you going to get information like that?
How'd you find all that out?
So I actually went through history and picked all of my favorite moments in history and then looked to see what the Cubs were doing on that day. And
that's
great.
Hilarious.
It's a good tie. Yeah. It's a good narrative.
Good. Yeah.
Did you at any point get through to a point in this book where you went, what the hell am I taking on?
Oh, yeah. When I told my co-publisher that I was doing this book, his question to me was, have you ever kissed a girl? Which I think is his way of saying, what a waste of your time.
Right. Including the mother of your children?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. By the way, it took how long to do this book?
10 years.
I think it's pretty remarkable you assembled all that in 10 years.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it was a labor of love.
Is this one of the original MLB franchises?
No. There were a couple that were before the Cubs.
Cincinnati
think.
Red Stockings?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I started with 1871, which is the season right before the fire. There was a season that they played, and then
129 years ago, what a slacker you turned out to be.
I know. And then the ballpark burned down, so they didn't play for the next two seasons, and then they started up again in 1870.
And they were the White Stockings.
And they were known as the White Stockings.
Did every team have stockings in the name initially?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Remember the Oakland,
the New York Yankee Stockings?
Yeah, remember the Oakland A Stockings? Yeah.
On the day that the movie Field of Dreams was released, Sutcliffe was on the mound for the Cubs. He beat the Mets 8-4 in Shea Stadium.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, Ron Santo's favorite stadium, right?
All right, so let's see, because, you know, the world.
On the day that American women won the right to vote in 1919, Hippo Vaughn and the Cubs lost a 1-0 heartbreaker in the 10th inning to the Pirates.
Who doesn't know that?
Didn't Dave cover that?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah. You did the play-by-play.
What day are you leaving?
I love you.
Listener says, did Joe Pepitone wear a toupee?
He did. And, you know, I interviewed Carmen Fanzone for this book, and Carmen Fanzone told me that the most disturbing thing he ever saw was the day that Joe Pepitone was in the shower without the wig on, because, you know, he always wore the wig. He was never seen without it.
Sure.
And
one time
in the shower, because you got to, you know. He said it was. He looked 100 years old.
And when you interviewed Carmen Fanzone, did he have the trumpet?
No, but I had heard a story that Carmen Fanzone played on The Tonight Show, and so I asked him about that, and I was putting it in the book, and he said it's not true. He never played
really?
On The
Just
Tonight
legend.
Show. Yes.
Listener question here from Margo. Yeah, Margo, go ahead. Margo, are you with me?
Do you remember Eddie Wakis?
Eddie Wakis,
sure. He was shot by a crazed fan, yes.
What's the story?
He was shot.
Hold on one sec, Margo.
He was shot by a crazed fan in 1949. He was a Cub. He was traded to the Phillies. And his first visit back to Chicago, a woman who was insane, actually they based the movie
The Natural
on this story. She saw him at his hotel and shot him.
It was at the Edgewater Hotel, right?
It was.
Yeah. Dave covered that one as well?
Yeah.
Man, yeah, whole career, I'm telling you, top-flight journalist. This is out in event in May, but can we pre-order?
You can pre-order it. You can go to everycubever.com. Also, eckhartspress.com is the name of my company, and we're putting it out.
Spell Eckharts.
Eckhartz Press.com.
Nice. I should be proud of it, and also really tired.
And a little embarrassed.
Everycubever.com.
Yes.
Nice job, Rick Kempfer.
Thank you very much.